Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When it comes to the festive season, you can't beat John Lewis, can you, Charlotte?
John Lewis is Christmas in the UK, isn't it?
And you can buy everything under one roof. Although we're not going under one roof this time, we're going online. But I do love the fact that I can buy everything from house decorations to stuff for the children, my husband, me, my beauty products, everything. It's all there.
It's also particularly good for fashion right now. They have the best cozy wear out there. If you are looking to snuggle up over the coming season, there is cashmere, there is loungewear, there is something for everybody.
They've also just launched their 12 Days of Christmas dressing campaign. They've collaborated with some of our favourite high street retailers, from Hush to Whistles, for an exclusive capsule collection of 12 amazing outfits. And there are sparkles for Christmas, as well as great loungewear. There's basically something for everyone.
Love it. And I don't know about you, but I will definitely be getting dressed up at home because it's Christmas and it wouldn't be Christmas without some sparkle. They're also doing these amazing virtual styling sessions, which you can do from the comfort of your own home. How does that work?
They are. You can speak to a John Lewis stylist over video call. They will help you go through existing pieces in your wardrobe and help you find new ways to wear them. And it's all for free.
For free?
For free.
Amazing. Well, with all that and free delivery over £50 and free click and collect on orders over £30, I can honestly say it's never made more sense to shop at John Lewis. So get on over there, johnlewis.com. I'm off. See you later.
See you, bye. Welcome to the Sherlock Team podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Becky Hull, Lou Huff and Adiola Boyega. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Lovely to have you here today.
So excited to be back again.
Looking flawless, as
Thank
always.
You.
There is a change in the room today. Somebody is now a missus.
Woo!
You finally tied the knot.
Finally, after three failed attempts this year, and it was meant to be on Saturday, and then the lockdown news broke. And we were just devastated. So we managed to pull everything forward and pull off wedding in 48 hours. And I'm now married.
Wow. Yay! I mean, I said to you at the time, I personally think it's so much more romantic than like doing a whole big thing. And you ended up with such a... It was so you what
yeah,
you ended up doing.
Yeah, just like everything about the day just... From feeling like every single thing was going against us the last couple of months and just kind of disappointment after disappointment. And we just felt like odds just did not want us to get married this year. Just suddenly on that day, just everything fell into place. And it was, you know, a lot of other brides or kind of stories I've read about lockdown weddings, they've all said it's so special, it's so romantic. And, you know, I took that in, but I was like, will it? Like, do people just kind of say that because you feel like you should? And obviously it's already emotional rollercoaster. So I kind of went into it with little expectation. And I guess the whole journey had just been so emotional that I just didn't really know what to even expect. And it was just above and beyond anything we could have ever, ever imagined, and made us so excited for our original plan, which hopefully will still come in the not too distant future. But for now, it was really important to us, I think, just making that like first step in our life together. And you know, we've been together for such a long time, so we've finally done it.
Yay! And everybody, people who haven't seen your picture on Instagram will want to know what you wore. Tell us, you wore your white suit.
Yes, so I wore a suit by the girls at the OWN studio. I went to kind of try on a couple of their things, maybe at the start of the year, and fell in love with this trouser suit. I had it made slightly bespoke for me, and I just felt so comfortable. Picking a dress, I've actually found really, really difficult just because I'm not a dress girl. And putting on that suit, I just felt like the best version of myself, which is just what you want. So yeah, I was super, super comfortable all day. And my husband wore a double-breasted suit as well. So we were both suited and booted.
Matchy, matchy. And he got up super early to go to the flower market.
Yeah. Obviously, because we had to turn things around so quickly, like all of our original suppliers weren't able to provide it in that time frame. So yeah, he went to the flower market 6 a.m. on Tuesday morning. And yes, which also then made it like even more personal, kind of every aspect we were so involved with. with.
You've got so many great stories as well to tell people. Yeah. I mean, we're in the future, you're going to be like, we turned wedding around so fast.
Yeah. It's just so I'm almost romantic. Jealous. I don't have like a good story. But I was like, well, we just had a wedding. Whereas yours is so, like, that's what I mean about it being so romantic.
Yeah, I still can't get over really. And all the flowers are now like in our lounge. So we're just kind of surrounded by that. And we had sort of various Zoom calls with friends and family over the weekend and just retelling the story. It's like, oh, can we just do it all over again?
And if you could give them one piece of advice now to brides who have been messed around by Corona and who haven't done it yet, what is your tip?
When you pair everything back, what a marriage actually is, it is really just about the couple and their love and making that commitment to each other, and all the stuff that goes on around it is really just filler. And I think just that was the thing that really highlighted it to me. Like, we only had 9 people. It was so, so intimate, but it was really just about us and our relationship. And just think about what you actually want and the reason that you're doing what you're doing. And the parties and the celebrations are still to come. But I think for us, just making that first commitment to each other and was just, yeah, priceless.
That's so beautiful.
I know, it's getting
so and she's up. Glowing so much.
You cannot stop smiling. Your face is going to hurt.
It's so weird. I like all the pictures. I literally look like a Cheshire cat. I'm like, smart, like, you know, a big, big, a goofy grin. But yeah, I don't think I've been this happy in a really,
also,
really long
such
time.
Such good weather. I was thinking that Wednesday. I was like, oh my God, Lou's got the best weather.
She's... Yeah, it was like London looking like at its absolute finest. It was like, stop flirting with us, London.
Oh, good. Well, we're all so thrilled for you.
Congratulations.
For Italy next year.
Thank you.
To less romantic matters, what has everybody been watching, listening to? Adeola, any recommendations?
Netflix is really exciting because all of the American shows that I grew up on, like Sister Sister, Moesha, have actually finally come to the UK, which I'm super excited about. Sister Sister launched this weekend and I was literally doing like a marathon, like watching it, because I literally grew up on it and I was really excited. I actually downloaded like a VPN for me to be able to watch it. Like,
obviously, so they're on American Netflix, not British Netflix.
But now they are on the British one.
So you'd originally downloaded
it. A VPN, so complicated to kind of do. I'm like, not
so illegal.
Maybe don't talk about that. But it was just really fun to be able to kind of just like, you know, watch it and just enjoy it and have like a marathon.
The Sister Sister theme tune is the
oh my god,
one.
Love.
Oh man,
yes. I love
that
it.
That takes me back so much.
Good old, I actually felt really old watching it because I even follow like Tamara and Tia now, and like they're in their 40s and
oh my god,
amazing. Yeah. But it's like, oh my gosh, I even grew up on this. Like, it was, nostalgia at its finest.
That
it was
and
so
Sabrina
good.
And the Teenage Witch. Oh,
yeah.
And Two of a Kind.
So that was really exciting.
Yeah, speaking of Two of a Kind, some of the Mary-Kate and Ashley films are coming to Netflix as well. Did you know that?
How they have literally transformed themselves from those shows to The Row, which is like... Yeah. Unheard of.
Only them and Victoria Beckham have that power. They should all be like Harvard case studies. It's ridiculous. Brand image. It's amazing. So you had a good binge, did you?
Yeah, old good
school
binge.
Shows?
Yeah. Living my teenage youth back again.
Dream. Yeah. What was Moesha? That rings a bell.
Moesha, so you know Brandy the singer?
Yeah.
It was like a storyline based on her life. It was really, really interesting, like with her stepmom and just going through life. Juicy. It was really fun. Yeah, nice. I love her.
I miss the fashion from those days as well.
The 90s fashion, makeup.
Love bucket hats that back then.
So many bucket hats, cropped puffer jackets, a lot of the same. Yeah, it's all come back.
Yeah, Blossom as well. Remember Blossom?
Yes. No. Did you ever watch The Tribe?
No.
That was another, like these teenagers that grew up, it was on Channel 5 and me and my sister were watching it yesterday. It was really interesting.
It's so good when you find something that really brings nostalgia.
Yeah, super nostalgic.
You can just sit there and go through episode after episode.
Yeah. Nothing is nostalgic for me like the Spice World movie. That is like one. It's the worst film ever made, but it's just so, I mean, that the is best. Like nostalgia at its finest, isn't it? Becky, any new recommendations from you?
Do you know what? This is a bit different for me. But I have been watching a show called Interior Design Masters on Netflix.
This is definitely not your usual, unless somebody dies in it.
I'm really smarting myself up. It's hosted by Fern Cotton, who I love, and who I feel like hasn't done anything for ages. So whenever she does, I'm always quite glued to it. Anyway, it's hosted by Fern Cotton. There are 10 sort of aspiring interior designers, all full of character, and each week they have to work together or individually to like completely make over a hotel, like a log cabin, or even someone's house, like a new build. and they have to stick to the brief. And what is so interesting is seeing how these interior designers just go against each other. And it is honestly, I think more than the actual design, it's fascinating seeing how characters just do not gel at times and how they just are willing to kind of throw each other under the bus for things. So it's a bit of like a soap, but also the outcome is amazing and you kind of get to see what they've worked on. And then each week someone goes and it's judged by really big names like Jade Jagger, Mary Portis and Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen. So there's someone different each week. And I don't know what it is about it, but I am addicted to it. I'm already on like, I can't even remember how many episodes there are, but I'm definitely over halfway through. And it doesn't sound like the kind of thing you could binge, but I love it.
How does one win the show?
They get eliminated week by week. And then when you win like a massive partnership deal to make over one of London's biggest hotels. Amazing. I don't think they actually announced which, but okay. It's amazing.
London's biggest hotels, inverted commas.
But I think it's more the people. You become really invested in who you want to win.
I like a bit of personality drama.
Yeah,
as well.
And you kind of watch it and you're like, oh, I wouldn't do that. Or, oh. You know what I mean? You get really into it. So yeah. Completely different for me. And then also, I just tuned in last night, Lou, I don't know if you did, to the jungle lineup. So who's going into the jungle?
I said it was that last night.
Oh, Mo Farah is going in.
I know.
I love
Mo Farah. Yeah.
This is obviously for I'm a Celeb this year, which is taking place in Wales. Yes. Last night there was this retrospective with Anton Deck, wasn't it? This is the 20th year.
I know. Do you know what? I loved it as well. I watched it from start to finish.
Yeah, I started it, but then the football was on, so I didn't get to finish it. But they did. They announced the new lineup for the Welsh version, didn't they?
Yeah.
It's a good lineup.
Who's in it?
So we've got Vernon Kay.
What?
I know. Vernon Kay. A bit of Shane Ritchie, as in Alfie from
Shane Ritchie. Yeah.
I love a bit of Shane Ritchie.
I would have said he'd already been in it.
Me too.
Totally agree.
The kind of person you'd imagine in there.
Okay, keep going.
Mo Farah and then
Victoria Derbyshire. She's a journalist. She's got the show on after BBC Breakfast every day.
She'll be great. Yeah. I feel like she is a no shit woman.
There's a lady from Corey.
Lady from EastEnders.
Yeah. AJ Pritchard.
AJ Pritchard, yeah.
Brother of Curtis.
Okay.
Giovanna Fletcher.
Tom
Fletcher's wife.
From McFly.
From McFly, okay. She's the mummy blogger.
Yeah. And I think she'll be good, actually. I think she'll be quite calm.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I know they're a bit controversial, but I love Ant and Dec. And I watched it last night, and you watched their career over the past 20 years just doing that show. And I have the utmost respect for them. Because, 100%. I mean, to continue that for 20 years, it's such a bond. And also just seeing the shows over the years. I don't know if you ever watched one with Christopher Biggins, but it is still my favourite series.
Love Biggins.
And they recapped all of them. And they showed the first ever one that had Tara Palmer Tomkinson
that
in.
First season. Darren Day. So good.
And wasn't that Peter Tony and Katie?
No, they were a few years later. Okay. The first one, there were only eight campmates. Only and it was eight. The one, what's her name? The Scottish comedian. Oh, and she lost the plot. She got really angry at all of them.
They showed that.
Yeah, they showed that. That's what I was watching. Yeah.
And Tony Blackburn won. That was the year. And that was when they only did it for 2 weeks. Wow. So just fascinating. But yeah, I watched that last night. And
so
it's
the first official one tonight?
The first official one's on Sunday. But last night was kind of like a little teaser.
Oh, I
don't normally watch it because I hate all the gruesomeness. But I feel like it can't be that gruesome if it's in a castle in Wales, surely.
And you finally got to see Ant and Dec do a bush tucker trial. Oh, yeah, that was the main
thing.
Yeah, it was priceless.
I love it when they do, like, I think it's like the penultimate episode and they are like in a blow up.
The cyclone.
Oh my God.
Every year
that is like my dream day.
You can go, I've always wanted to go to one of those massive inflatable, like it's a knockout things in water.
Oh my God, I used to love that.
Mine and my mum's like biggest fight is that she thinks that Ant and Dec have no talent. She's like, they're talentless, they don't get the hype. And it makes me so angry. Like, you just don't understand.
But Heather's like that.
It's mad.
Heather and I completely disagree.
That's the
skill. But I feel like it's their bond that makes them who they are. Like, also, maybe if they were separate, it might not be as exciting, but they're bond together.
But it's also like they are so natural and like that is the skill.
Yeah. Totally.
The fact that you think they've got no skill is the skill.
I completely agree. I don't know, I love them and watching them, they just make me so happy.
Me too. They're just a British institution.
Yeah,
national treasure.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll have to report back on the coming podcasts about I'm a Celeb and its progress. Lou, any TV? Have you been watching any TV? Probably not. No.
Funnily enough, no.
I had something to recommend. Oh, it's The Queen's Gambit, which I do think Heather talked about on the podcast last week as well. But I finished and it's just brilliant. It's so good.
What's it about? Because I keep hearing people recommend this, but every time I look at it on Netflix, I don't get much from it.
It's really hard to explain, but it's basically about a girl who is orphaned and goes to a kind of orphanage
a boarding school type thing and becomes both a drug addict and a top chess player. And it follows her life as she tries to become a grandmaster in chess while she battles this drug addiction. But it's shot so beautifully. Like, the aesthetics are just absolutely stunning. It's so visual. There's a kind of Wes Anderson feel to it. It's just like really symmetrical, really aesthetically pleasing, set in the kind of 50s and 60s. So the great costumes, and it's with Anya Taylor-Joy, who played Emma in the Jane Austen adaptation last year. And yeah, she's just spectacular. I really recommend it if you're looking for a bit of escapism. Not really for blokes. It's quite a girly watch, I'd say. So leave the boys out. But yeah, highly recommend. There was a bit of a jostle in the Sheer Luxe office when I said we were going to be talking about CeraVe on the podcast today, because so many CeraVe fans not even came out the woodwork. I don't think anyone's closeted about their CeraVe fandom, but so many people wanted to be on this podcast to talk about CeraVe. So you are the lucky ones who were chosen. Well done. But this is because we're working with a brand at the moment and they are just one of the best for affordable skincare. Becky, just give us an intro. Like, what is CeraVe and why are they so popular here?
So I think the reason they're so popular is because it's an incredibly fuss-free brand. There's no sort of frills to it. You know exactly what you're getting. When you sometimes buy skincare, there's a lot of jargon that comes with it, whereas these are streamlined bottles that literally say what skin type they're for. And I think one of the biggest selling points is right at the top. There's that tiny line that says created in partnership with dermatologists. So I think you know you're getting really good products and formulations. It feels really authentic. And then there's the fact that they are made with ceramides, hence the name CeraVe.
And ceramides are
basically like, think of them like concrete in your skin. They lock in moisture and stop anything coming out or going in at the same time. So they work really well to kind of keep your skin feeling fresh and supple and just smooth. And it's a brilliant brand for problem prone skin. Anyone that gets eczema, I've used it for my eczema and it's been brilliant. But also it uses hyaluronic acid as well in most of the formulations. So you get that kind of double dose of hydration all the time. And then they brought out the salicylic acid cleanser, which I think is everybody's favorite, so just because good. It's a bit more targeted, isn't it? And that salicylic acid, it kind of works to break down red bumps on the back of your arms. It works to even out sort of red, uneven tone. And it's just so simple, but so effective. So and I effective. Think that is why people love it.
Adiele, you've been nodding along. Do you agree? You're
yeah,
a fan?
Yeah, it's so good. Especially that salicylic acid cleanser. I've recommended it to so many people, especially if they've got maskne, because salicylic acid is really good to go deep down in the pores and really clear out the skin. Mm-hmm. But like you were saying that, you know, it's really, really good for, you know, targeting things, but not drying your skin at the same time. And it's so cheap and cheerful and so affordable. I had a friend recently and her mom's going through menopause and she was asking me about what products to go for. And I said, try CeraVe. Like, it's so good. And if you are like an entry level person or haven't tried, you know, a lot of skincare, you just want something that literally just does the job. It's such a good brand to go for.
So that's interesting. So salicylic acid cleanser, is that what you're using for this shared problem that we both have?
Yeah. So about a month ago, I had like a really, I don't know if it was a reaction, whether it was stress, but I had this reaction. I had like all these tiny, tiny bumps like all over my cheeks and my chin. And I had no idea what it was. So I was like, Becky, what do I do? And she recommended this salicylic acid cleanser. So I literally stripped back my routine and literally just used that. And then also their daily moisturizer night cream. And literally just those two products. And it literally cleared it up within 3 days. And it even says on the front for like dry and bumpy skin.
That's what I need.
So yeah, it was amazing. And actually, I now just have it in the shower. The packaging is also amazing. It's got like a pump on it. So just have that in the shower every morning. I wash my face with it. And also like I sometimes get a little bit, is it keratosis pilaris. On the backs of my arms. So often helps that. Same with on my chest. And it's just kind of, I'm no pro, so I'm not going to say the right words, but I have noticed a massive change and it's just sort of smoothing out my skin and like problem areas. And just, it's so affordable. It's like £12, and I think when I bought it I went to Boots and they had like a 3 for 2 offer. So I also got one of their eye cream as well, and also now the salicylic acid body cream as well. And that is just such a like rich texture, so that just like a little bit of that on your arms, and especially at this time of year, like I feel like my skin, just whatever I do, it just needs extra like moisture, and it kind of, I feel like it gives it like a protective barrier.
Totally.
So yeah, I could not recommend it enough. And I just think if you've got any little skin spot problems, and I feel like in our office everyone is struggling with mask knee.
Yes.
Luckily for the wedding, my skin was like fine, and 3 days later it like erupted.
Your body just gets you through.
Yeah, I was like, thanks. But yeah, I think I couldn't recommend enough.
That's what I've got here, like here. It's just under my, it's just over my chin and like under my lips. But it's like they're like blackheads, like they look, or they're like bumps that in the past you would just be able to squeeze out, but they do not squeeze out.
They're stuck.
They're just these angry bumps. They're not, yeah, and they're not blackheads. They're just but they look like they would be squeeze outable. Sorry, this is really gross, but they just won't go anywhere. So is this what I need to use?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. I just think it's so pared back that it just gives you results really quickly. And I think another thing to say about them is their range is quite concise. Mm. It feels really curated. You know, they're not just putting products in for the sake of it or launching things left, right and center. Everything has a real purpose, mm-hmm. and nothing is over £15.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So you kind of know when you go shopping that you're going to get things for your price range, any price range, and it's going to work.
And you can try it as well. And if it's not for you, like, you know, £15.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And like the cleanser, you can use that salicylic acid one on your body as well.
Yeah.
So say you get back acne. Yeah. It's so good for that.
Yeah. And great for like family and kids as well. Like they do a really good hydrating cleanser as well. That's really lovely. So not just for yourself, but if you've got family members, like you can easily like use it between the whole family, and it's like really cost effective.
Yeah, I think there's three different types of cleanser depending on your skin type.
Also at this time of year, I don't know about you, but it's my feet and my ankles and the backs of my, they are literally like snaky. Yeah, snake skin dry. I've used their moisturizing lotion before. It's just a like fast acting, incredibly thick.
Yeah.
It's almost like a dipper base cream that you'd get at the pharmacy. Mm. But it feels a bit more luxurious because you know it's that kind of nice brand as well at the same time.
Right. Well, that's quite a lot of love for CeraVe there, isn't it? All right. Well, you can have a look at the feature on the site for more information, and you can shop all of their range at boots.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We're going to talk a bit about... We're not going to talk about travel, really, but we are going to talk about travel bloggers to follow on Instagram. If you are missing the sea, the slopes, whatever it might be, then we have rounded up the best travel bloggers to follow for a little bit of wanderlust inspiration whilst we're all stuck here. My brother buggered off to Mallorca before the lockdown, just riding it out over there.
So jammy.
Every time it rains, he's like, he's just gone. Oh, like, wow. I don't know.
He's gone.
No flight back. And he, every time it rains, he like sends the family group a photo, and then you look, check at the weather, and it's like, it's going to rain for 10 minutes, and then it's 23 degrees again. They're like, well, you can fuck off. So jealous. Anyway, apart from him, everybody else is pretty much stuck here for the foreseeable. So I want to know who are your favorite travel bloggers to follow on Instagram or travel Instagram accounts. Adiola, do you have any?
I follow a lady called Lydia Dinger. She does some really beautiful content. She's not traveling at the moment, but it's just really inspirational because she still posts about it now, and it's just really sort of like aspirational, beautiful, clean-cut images. She actually did a really fun travel blog with her partner where they literally took like a camper van and like literally went, and it was just so beautiful, and they swam in the like ocean and the water, and it just looked so gorgeous. So that really inspires me. But also, one of my really close friends has moved over to traveling like nomad like lifestyle. So she lives with her husband and their daughter, but they literally like move around every single like couple of months.
Cool.
So they're like in Mexico one minute. I just really love love following them and their journey, but I just find it really, really sort of inspiring that they kind of have a family life, but they travel all around the world.
People who do that, I've got so, it's like Courtney Adomo. Yeah. She's got four kids and they just love like that. Upped and went. I think it's so cool. So what do? They homeschool their children?
So she's only got one daughter, but they literally just like have an income online by doing like teaching English online. Me and well. They literally like talk about like how to make money online as well, but they never stay in a certain area for more than like a couple of months. It's just really, really inspirational. Wow. They had like £18,000 worth of debt that they cleared before they went, and they've been doing it for like 3 years.
Amazing.
And it's literally worked for them. They come back every so often, but I just find it really inspirational. And also as well, like you just get so many tips from them as well about where to go, where not to go.
Because they've got what we all crave, which is like the time.
Exactly.
So, you know, we go somewhere for like a week or two, and that's not the same as going somewhere for months on end. Where's the most exciting place they've been?
Mexico, I feel like, was really exciting. Bali as well. But also you see like the not nice parts about it as well. So like with their house hunting, and they might go to a place and it doesn't really work out. And for me, it's kind of like, I might have thought that I wanted to go somewhere, but actually they kind of give you the heads up, like, don't really go here or don't really go to those places.
It's an honest review.
Yeah, honest reviews. But I just love, like, it's like their family life balance. Yeah. Like, they work up until a certain time and then they're at the beach by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Gosh. And that's their life.
It makes you feel like a mug, doesn't it? What are we all doing here? Mortgages. Mental. What did they do in lockdown? Over coronavirus, how has that affected
them?
They
still travelled out. Yeah. I mean, they came here for a short period of time, but they, you know, before lockdown happened, and they've like traveled again. And I just find it really, really fun and engaging. Also the fact that they've got a daughter as well.
Yeah,
and
cool.
She's so cultured. She's probably more cultured than what I am.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
31.
Yeah. She's probably seen a lot more of the world than most of us.
Right, exactly.
So, cool. Can we follow them on Instagram?
Yeah, they're called the Fro Family.
The Fro Family.
Fro Family Travels.
Oh, what a dream. Lou, what about you? Who do you turn to for travel inspo?
Oh, I love following travel accounts, like especially this year where we just haven't been able to go anywhere, but I always use them as sort of my source of inspiration for like new places to go or hotels and restaurants. So one of my faves is The Adventures of Us, Friends of Sherlock, who also run the incredible interiors account number 17, but they just have been to so many amazing places around the world, and the way that they sort of capture these beautiful destinations is just God, you literally are like, oh my God, can you transport me there right now? So I love following them. Another one is a photographer. I'm going to say her name wrong. In my head, I call it Lucy Lockett, but I think it's like, it's Lucy, L-A-U-C-T.
Lucy Lockett.
She is a sort of travel photographer and again, just documents so many beautiful places. Kind of every picture you're like, well, I could just print that out and have that as a poster on my wall. Just, I don't know, I just find looking at travel pictures so, it makes you feel so much like uplifted, and like I love traveling myself. Every year, that's always like our biggest highlight. So this year is weird to not have that. So yeah, I've got like some saves on my Instagram. I've got like a saved account of just beautiful pictures and you're like bookmarking places to go for the future. So yeah, those would be my two go-tos.
Becky, who do you turn to for inspo?
I don't necessarily follow travel bloggers, but I do love Super.Italy, which is an Instagram account that, you guessed it, documents different places in Italy. And I think it's obviously one of my favourite places. And it kind of just gives you all those little photos of nooks and crannies of Italy that you've never seen and restaurant tips. And, you know, it shows a really beautiful restaurant in the island of Bari. And you just sort of bookmark these things and think, when I go there, that is where I'll be going. That is the exact picture I'll be replicating. You know, just it just looks and feels so beautiful, that account. And it really does bring Italy to life. And then other than that, I also follow the Indie Edit, who I know doesn't do loads of travel photos, but she does really nice, concise UK trips sometimes. And that was where I actually discovered the Newt before you said you'd been, Lou. And I was like, I've never heard of the Newt in Somerset. And you know all these places in the UK that you suddenly discover just by scrolling through Instagram. Mm. And she always has like beautiful filters on.
Yeah, Indie does take the best photos.
There's another influencer called Gina Goes To, and she's done a lot of especially UK staycations recently. So if you're kind of, you feel like you're in a bit of a slump and hopefully we're out of lockdown thinking about somewhere you can go locally, then she's a great one. I do think it is weird though, like if you kind of think of like the travel world before Instagram and all these sort of secret hidden gems, nothing's really secret anymore. I think because of Instagram, like, you know, there's a view or you know, there's a certain picture, as you were saying, that like everyone has been captured, and a lot of people are at that beach because like they saw it on Instagram.
Yeah,
so
true.
The geotag. So I don't know, part of me, I'm kind of quite split in two, whereas half feel like this is amazing because it's inspiring so many others and there's a lot of places that maybe you would never have learnt about if it weren't for this platform, but equally think, actually, that's really sad that so much is not unknown and you can't just kind of walk and discover for yourself you're doing that through the eyes of someone else or, you know.
Yeah, it kind of makes the world so much bigger but so much smaller in a way at the same time. I don't really follow travel bloggers at all for kind of for that reason. Like, I am also a bit like, I don't need to see another beach. Mm. Like, I find it all quite samey. But what I do is I have a subscription to Condé Nast Traveler, who I absolutely love for those off the beaten track recommendations, which really genuinely are off the beaten track. Between Condé Nast Traveler and Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I feel in such safe hands. And whenever in the last few years we've deviated from anywhere that we haven't found in either of those places, it's just been a letdown. It just hasn't been.
I personally
I need to go to a trusted source and I don't trust Instagram for recommendations. To me, it's the same as TripAdvisor. Like, okay, you might follow someone whose aesthetic you like, you know, India, for example. I have every faith that if I went somewhere that India recommended, it would be lovely. But I just feel safer in the hands of a really trusted expert source, not just people who've then kind of made their hobby their passion. So for me, that is just a kind of prerequisite. And the best thing about Condé Nast Traveler is they will go to like the randomest place. I mean, places you would never, ever think of as holiday destinations. So in this month, there was a whole write-up on Lagos and why that's now like this massive fashion destination. And like, do you know what I mean? Just places you would never think about. And they go into such depth and such detail, and you know, they might do a road trip and whatever somewhere in the Nordics, which is like really obscure. And to me, that is the best source of inspiration, exactly as you say, Lou, because it's so hard to find those more hidden gems these days, and they really have kind of gone the extra mile to tick that box. So for me, that is like the best place for that. And Mr. and Mrs. Smith, as I said, my favorite thing to do is go on to, like, even if I'm not staying in a hotel that's a recommendation of theirs, I'll go on to the hotel in that area and then scroll down to the bottom, and they always have the best list of recommendations in the area and like what to do there and where to eat. If you're going to, you know, wherever it may be, UK, Thailand, whatever, find a hotel there, you know, even if whatever, their hotels don't have your availability or your budget, they will have really good recommendations for what to do in the area. So top tip for you.
Good tip.
There you go. All right. Well, if you are looking for a bit of travel inspo on your grid, then have a look at our roundup of the very best travel bloggers to follow on the site. I'm going to make you all hungry now. It's 11 o'clock on Monday and we're going to talk about chocolate. We wrote A Nutritionist's Guide to Chocolate, and important though that is, I want to take this in a slightly smuttier direction and just talk about naughty chocolate, because I don't know about you guys, but it's been so hard to put the stuff away over the last few months. And so during the first lockdown, my mum was like, oh, they might start rationing, you better stock up. So the only thing I stocked up on, because I was like, we'll be able to get the basics, but I went and bought like 10 big dairy milk things. So I was like, that would be really stressful if you couldn't get your hands on like some really good chocolate, right? Anyway, it's all gone. We never rationed and I ate it all. But it's really kind of, I don't know, in the office we're quite good and we try to only have like a square of dark chocolate or whatever. But being at home, I've just gone to pot. Anyway, all this to say, what is your chocolate of choice, or what are you guys loving right now? It's nearly Terry's Chocolate Orange time of year as well, isn't it? So what's tickling your fancy right now, Becky?
I feel like I'm never good with chocolate. When you were just saying about being in the office, I just...
Yeah, we definitely don't do that.
I feel like we're naughty sometimes, but like I try... Before 2020,
yeah,
I was quite good at just like having a... I
would think actually the fashion table are probably the worst chocolate hoarders in there.
Yeah, we actually really are.
I always steam over if I hear a little rustle. Well, firstly, I know I always talk about this, but I do feel like I have to plug him because he is my brother and he is a small, struggling business at the moment. And he is called J. Coco and he makes chocolate from bean to bar. So the beans come over from Nicaragua, he then cracks them, he winnows them, and then he makes chocolate from scratch. And it is really impressive. So if you do have time, check out his website, because he makes, you know, everything from salted caramels to really thick chocolate bars. Wow. And it's healthy chocolate. I'm going to give a flip side.
Well, because it's like natural chocolate.
Because it's quite natural, and it's pretty fresh. But it's great for those. I would say if you love dark chocolate especially, it's worth checking out. But his salted caramels.
How did he get into that? It's so niche.
It gets even nicher. Oh, yeah. He used to be a fishmonger.
Okay, sure.
But before that, he had studied patisserie and chocolate, so he just went back to it, basically.
Dreamy. What a lovely thing to study. Maybe I'll do that.
I know. But on the flip side of that, I've just discovered Tony Moly.
Tony Chocolonely.
Tony Moly, not at all. Is it?
Not one bit, not even close.
Who's just discovered?
I went to Sainsbury's the other day and Tor was like, you have to get that, you'll love it.
Seriously, you didn't try this until the other day?
I've never tried it in my life. I got salted caramel.
Oh my God.
Lou Adeola hasn't heard of it.
I don't think it's that,
Oh my God, when this conversation came around, I was like, I hope Charlotte picks me first because everyone is obviously going to go for Tony Chocolonely.
And honestly, so I had it over the weekend. I had the salty caramel.
The salty pretzel one.
Heaven.
Unreal. Okay, so Adiona, these are, they kind of look like Willy Wonka-esque. Yeah. They're like big, but I mean, they actually do a small one as well, yeah. But they're these kind of big.
They're chunky.
Yeah, fat. And they're always really bright colours. There's like a bright orange, a bright green, a bright blue, gold wrapping. And yeah. It's somewhere between naughty and nice. Like, it's not as naughty as Cadbury's, okay. But it's not as good as like Lindt. Would you agree? It's kind of in the middle.
It's not like in that like luxury fancy demographic.
No, but it's not as naughty.
I think it is the best chocolate in the world.
It's delicious. Yeah. I was literally like, I get it now.
Yeah. Get it. Yeah.
Like, yeah, the caramel one is amazing. The pretzel one is a personal
The favorite. Pretzel one is my favorite.
It's expensive. And the most difficult thing is when you get a large bar, it's not, you know how Cadbury's is like rows. So it's easy to be like, right, I'll just have a row and that will like sort me out, or I'll just finish this next row and it's easy to share. This one, the shapes are so all over the place. It's very hard to like to clean it off. So
I agree. It's really, it's like when you get the Cadbury's, you know that Cadbury's one with all the like the jelly beans and the squash,
yeah.
The popping candy, and it's really hard to break off a piece. It's so like
it just means you end up, you're like, well, we might as well just finish this.
It's not really for sharing, it's too chunky, you just gotta have it yourself.
So hang on, I've been going through my WhatsApp conversation with Lou and Polly trying to find what I said was my latest Tony preferred flavor. I can't find it, but what I have found is that back in the summer Cadbury's had a thing called cadburyinventor.com, and you basically, it's a competition, and having just clicked on the link, there's now a winner, so you can't play anymore. But it was basically like you had to invent a Cadbury bar, and it broke down like every single thing that you could possibly put in it, and you had to come up with your combinations of what you would put in your chocolate bar. So hang on, this is what we said. Polly went for speculoos with, you know, which is like the lotus biscuits with brownie and sea salt.
That's nice.
I went with speculoos, cookie dough and marshmallow. Lou's husband went with hazelnut, salt and malt nuggets.
He and was Lou, buzzing about that. He literally, for weeks on end, was waiting for his call to say one.
And Lou went with coconutty, crunchy honeycomb and blueberry.
Yum.
Gross. I think that sounds so good.
There's some good, quite combinations.
Anyway, it's such a shame they've taken that competition down. It was so much fun. Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah, delicious. Anyway, sorry, back to Tony. Yeah,
Tony Chocolonely is the absolute best. And it is also their mission to create 100% slave-free chocolate, as there is a lot of inequality in the chocolate industry and the sourcing. So yeah, you're eating delicious chocolate and it's for a good cause. My other one is Montezuma's mint chocolate, which is, again, just astonishingly good. It's got like teeny little like crunchy pieces of mint in it.
Oh,
I love Montezuma mint chocolate button.
They're good as well.
Speaking of chocolate buttons, can I take my favorite chocolate in the world right now is M&S do these salted caramel filled chocolate buttons. Like, I cannot describe how good they are.
They're insane. They also do these milk chocolate coated cookie dough balls, and they
I love them. Actually, and I didn't realize I had so much to say on this subject, but speaking of, my brother came home the other day with Ben and Jerry's and now selling a bag just of mini cookie dough balls of their cookie dough. Oh, so you don't even bother with the ice cream. You know how you get the ice cream and you dig out the cookie dough and leave the vanilla?
That's a good tip.
Yeah, found it in Sainsbury's.
Sainsbury's? Sainsbury's has such good stock.
Do you know what else Sainsbury's have? I think we put it on Sheerlux. I'm really missing Leon. Leon's like the only fast food thing I haven't been able to get during lockdown because no one lives near a Leon, do they? Mm. And in Sainsbury's, you can buy, you know, they're really good waffle chips. Yeah. And you can buy them frozen in Sainsbury's.
I love those.
From Leon. They're from Leon. Anyway, back to chocolate. Adiola, what are you into chocolate?
Can I just say I'm really floored by all this like choice. I'm gonna go home and like literally on my way home like to Sainsbury's and buy some. But I'm really bored and I love Ferrero Rocher.
Can't beat a Ferrero Rocher.
So good.
I do love a Ferrero Rocher, especially at this time of year.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm not waiting till Christmas. I'm just eating them now.
Yeah, that's fair.
But that would be my favourite. Do you know what a really fun game is to do, and we do this at Christmas, is that we basically guess the chocolate.
That's a really great game.
If you have any like chocolate connoisseurs, you basically just cut pieces of chocolate, put them in different bowls, and everyone has to guess like,
and they all presumably have to be the same shape.
Yeah, same shape. Good shout.
I think if I was given a Ferrero, I'd be like,
I know what this is. Yeah, you could be like a bar of chocolate.
You could be blindfolded.
No, yeah, but true. I think if you put it in your mouth, like Ferrero, Terry's Choc, like you're going to...
Yeah, that's but true, if it's like true. Dairy Toblerone. Milk and Galaxy,
yeah.
You wouldn't really know the difference. But I just think it's really fun, like to kind of see people's reaction.
Yeah, I like that.
To eat chocolate.
Yeah,
it's really fun. Maybe that can be the fashion team Christmas party. Right.
Yeah, sorted.
I've got to say, like, as a Brit, I think we do have like seriously good chocolate selection.
Yeah.
Whenever I go abroad and you're like, oh, I really fancy some chocolate. And then you're like, oh God, this is terrible.
Yeah, I do like Milka. You know that European, the purple one. Yeah. I really like Milka.
Yeah. I also just love a crunchy. You know, I a good old fashioned crunchy.
I've not had a crunchy in years.
No, if I ever find a crunchy, I'm like, you're coming with me.
Can I tell you, my favourite chocolate bar to ever exist was discontinued years ago, and it was a Mars Delight. I don't know if you remember them. They were like,
ooh, yeah, that rings
they had a
bell.
Kind of wafer in them. If you Googled them, you'd recognise the wrapper. And it was like a wafer, and then it was a kind of caramelly, like mousse almost, and then it was covered in chocolate. And that is my, like, if I ever saw, I just don't think they exist anymore, but if I ever saw one, I'd probably cry. It's been years, but they're so good. If you could only have one chocolate bar, what would it be?
Ooh, good shout. For me, I love Galaxy, just the taste of it. Mm. So that would be
it's
my...
It's so sweet though, so, Galaxy. Yeah, Galaxy like, is sweet.
But that's the good thing, because I'll know that I only have a little bit and that will be sufficient for
okay.
me.
Okay, yeah. You've got self-control.
Yeah, I quite like it, just even a corner
yeah,
of a Galaxy.
Like a
yeah, I love actually a ripple. This Ooh. Is the worst discussion to have. Pre-lunch.
Yeah, we're just going to a pool, aren't we? After yeah. this.
I forgot about ripples.
Yeah, I love a ripple. Mm. Ripple dunked in a cup of tea.
Oh.
Delicious.
But there's nothing like a chocolate finger dunked in a cup of tea, is yeah. there? That is the one.
Do you dunk?
Straw.
Yeah.
Oh, guys.
No, Becky, that is mandatory. For those who don't know, if you can do it with a Kit Kat as well. You bite off the top and the bottom and you suck your teeth through it and then you eat your soggy biscuit. It's yeah. phenomenal.
You can do the same with a penguin.
I'm a funny one. Ooh, like that.
That's a very fat straw.
No, you do like the, you do, the so you do the two you do two corners and
oh clever.
Yeah, and then it kind of goes through and then you flip it around and then it's like this like soggy biscuity.
Love a penguin.
You can't be a penguin either, I was gonna say.
Yeah, love a penguin.
But one chocolate bar, I think it would be a crunchy. I get so much satisfaction from a crunchy.
I find crunchy hurts my tongue a bit.
It hurts my teeth.
The sugar, yeah.
Yeah, but I really do, I would like to, you know, I'd just sit with a crunchy and be very happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Lou, one chocolate.
Mine would be Tony Chocolonely pretzel, but if it has to be like a regular bar that you can buy that, I would probably go. Oh, this is so tough. For like long term, think about this way too much. Long term, I'd go Giant Buttons because I think like whatever your mood, you can never really go yeah. wrong. But I also love a Bueno.
A Bueno,
oh,
interesting. Bueno. I'd go 12.
Oh, 12, so 12. Good.
Can't beat
so
12. Good.
Can't beat 12.
It's a flake, but less messy. What's yeah. love? All right. Well, if you want some nutritionist info, on what a segue. Yeah. Well, we haven't written a piece on our favorite chocolate bars at all, but there is a nutritionist guide to chocolate. If you are looking for a healthier approach, then clearly we are on the site. Let's talk puddings now. Whilst we're on a roll, we have written a feature on 10 great puddings you can make in 15 minutes. So I want to know, what are your go-to puddings at this time of year? It really is. It's pudding season, isn't it? Time to put a bit of meat on those bones. Aziela, what's your go-to dessert to make at home?
Do you know what I love is a Baileys. And I feel like this time of the year, like a Baileys is like what you'd have, for example, on the weekend, if you're just like sat watching a nice film. But this is a really lovely dessert that I literally be having like every other like week. It's really bad, actually. It's like a three pudding dessert, which is like a Baileys, coconut milk and dark chocolate.
Ooh.
And then you literally just put it into like a mousse, mix it together, let it sit in the fridge, and it's divine.
Because when you said Baileys, I was like, yeah, babe, that's not a dessert. Like, wine. Wine is my favourite dessert. That is so clever. What, so you just so mix good. It all?
Just mix it all together. So you obviously melt the dark chocolate, yeah. then you mix it in with the coconut milk, and then also add the Baileys in. So good.
That is such a hack
so
as well.
Good.
What
that
an easy dessert.
And it's so quick and easy as well. Yeah. You can put it in the morning, let it sit in the fridge, and then it's done by the evening.
Yeah. Unreal.
So good.
Yeah, such a good. That's so quick and easy. I love that. Becky, are you a dessert baker?
I wish I was, but no. When I went out and bake off the other week, it instills fear in me having to bake for people.
We have a sweepstakes.
I've heard of
yes,
this.
Yes, so you have to bake.
I'm out. I went out. He really let me down, Mark, but we won't go there. But I do like making those kind of gooey cookies with a bit of saltiness in them.
Yeah.
Nice bit of contrast. But I'm not, in terms of puddings, I have to say, I like eating them. Sticky toffee is my favourite.
Oh, that's my favourite.
Of all time.
Yeah, I'm going to do the best one.
Yeah.
Oh, is my favourite. If you ever go to a pub at Christmas, it's like pop.
Me too. Yeah. There's no contest. If they're sticking coffee on the dessert, on
and
the
as soon
menu.
As you like get the menu, I'll like scan the menu yeah. to like see like yeah. let's go pudding first, so I then know like how Plan. Much to have. Yeah.
Agreed.
You can know you can relax over
yeah.
your main.
Yeah. Hate it also when they don't give you the pudding menu at the beginning.
Oh yeah, yeah. And especially if it's like a roast kind of destination. Yeah, exactly. You need the pudding.
Yeah, I find that a bit rude actually if they don't. But that is what I would have. But I wouldn't know where to start with cooking it. I'm just not a big baker.
That's okay.
Fair so yeah. I can't contribute too much here. Oh, but I like your Baileys.
Yeah,
too.
Try that. It's quick and easy.
I love Baileys.
Yeah, you can probably do that. Mm.
Lou, into baking desserts?
Yeah, I love a pudding. I would always go pudding over a starter. Mm. So yeah, like you guys, love sticky toffee. I love a bread and butter pudding, like this time of year as well. Like, delish. My mum's an amazing baker, chef, and kind of puddings. I think she really comes into her own. And there's a sort of family recipe called Apple Betty, which I'm sure I've spoken about before.
Yeah.
Kind of like a crumble, but the topping is like breadcrumbs and then granola, and then you put like mix like butter and maple syrup together and then put that over the top, roast in the oven, and big chunks of chocolate. And so you get this like really crunchy, crispy, and then you get like with bits of chocolate and then with the tart of the apples.
Unreal.
Just like divine. Yeah. There's a really simple, like kind of like a tartare, where you just get some puff pastry, put some, it's like a real cheap version to it, some marmalade on the base, and then really, really finely slice a Cox apple, put a bit of sugar over the top, and then bake that in the oven. And that is like so tasty. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good hack.
Yeah. Delish.
So easy as well.
I'm really hungry.
Love that. Michelle, you? I feel like you're a pudding fan.
I am a pudding fan, but I'm not normally a maker of, but a few weeks ago I did try Nigella's Nutella cheesecake, which is the easiest thing I've ever made, and I swear to God it is the most delicious thing. I can't take credit for it, it's Nigella's recipe, but it is insane. Like, I never really thought about what goes into a cheesecake before. It's not exactly healthy. It's literally like you crumble biscuits with Nutella and butter, and that's the base, and then you mix Nutella, sugar, cream cheese, and that's the top. And then you can like put hazelnuts on top. But oh my God, I just love Nutella. So it was like the most creamy, decadent, you know, those things that you take a slice and then the next day we just like chisel, we like, you know, the cling film was still on and we were like chiseling away with a fork. We're like, oh shit, it's finished. Like, it's so good. So I highly recommend that. I'm also I'm better at cooking than I am at baking because I'm not very good at being precise, but Nigella does make things so easy. So yeah, I do recommend.
I've had a cheesecake in ages.
And also I don't like a kind of like traditional cheesecake. I find it a bit dull, but this is like decadent.
Sounds incredible.
So good, you guys. All right, we've got recipes for everything from vegan banana split to croissant pudding. That sounds right up your street.
Oh my God, yum.
Orange chocolate fondant, matcha, shiratama, mochi. Yum, I love a mochi. Anyway, so do have a look at the feature if you are in the market for a good pudding. We're going to end on a bit of fashion. All eyes are obviously on loungewear right now. By the time this goes live, our John Lewis cozy lookbook will be live. Adiola, we did a big shoot for John Lewis a few weeks ago. We shot two lookbooks for them. One is cozy, one is party themed. But that has really got me in the mood for cozy season. I mean, there was cashmere, there were joggers, there were so many lovely things to lounge around the house in. So I want to know what you're lounging around the house in right now, Lou.
Well, I think during the summer, I was way more into the sort of sportswear athleisure vibe. So I got a white sweatshirt from Topshop, had some H&M joggers, and that was like kind of me done. And I also recently got an amazing sweatshirt from a brand called A Novel Idea, who has sort of jumped on that Princess Di sportswear. And it's just a nice like navy sweatshirt. And you kind of, I wore it on a Zoom call the other day with my hair in a ponytail, and Polly and Charlotte said I looked like I was going off to hockey practice.
Oh, she literally looked 15. Yeah, like a scrunchie and this like sporty jumper. Yeah.
More recently I've been going down more the athleisure vibe, but I think now it is getting a bit more cozy. Now I feel like I want some good cashmere. I mean, it's been like a life goal to own a cashmere onesie or like a cashmere tracksuit.
You missed it last week, but I've got my eye on one. Yeah, there's a Madeline Thompson cashmere onesie on net, which is hideously expensive, but I'm trying to like not really buy a lot at all at the moment. So, and I can't think of anything I get better cost per wear from. Yeah. It's a cashmere jumpsuit, not onesie. So you can absolutely wear it out. It's got like a tie waist.
Okay.
It's got buttons kind of like into a high neck, slightly puff sleeve. It's amazing. So I'm keeping a very close eye on it. And I don't like buying things at the beginning of the month. So yeah. I'm just going to wait a couple of weeks. Yeah. When until it's close to payday, you know what's what.
Yeah.
So I'm just keeping my eye on it and trying to be good. And I'm going to treat myself because it is It's flawless.
Oh,
I know.
Amazing.
I'm really excited about it. Yeah, it's really good. They got it in camel as well.
Oh, lush. I know.
Cozy.
Actually, Zara Home have just launched the most beautiful collection of sort of at-home loungewear, beautiful silks, and actually really, really affordable. And they've got some great cashmere two pieces. The White Company as well always have such lovely, lovely pieces. So yeah, I can't wait actually to sort of indulge in my at-home wardrobe
now. I also think Hush is so good right now.
Yes.
Like really, really good at-home stuff as well, not like hideously expensive. So another
Yeah, really good cashmere and M&S. I think actually you can get some really great places.
You can.
Really
I'm wearing M&S cashmere right now.
On the high street.
And B&M, such good loungewear.
Yes.
Yeah, a bit more expensive, but so good. What about you guys? Sorry, we got lost in a romantic cashmere story there. Adiela, what are you wearing around the house right now?
So obviously Kim Kardashian launched her Skims line, but it's so expensive.
It is, I know.
So I went to Primark just before lockdown and they have like their version of it.
Okay,
and it's really, really cool. It's like this sort of like white, quite fluffy, but they have like a set. So you have like this really beautiful cardigan. Then you've also got the trousers version, like a little crop top as well.
So this is like a teddy bear.
Yeah, teddy bear feel. Really affordable. I think I didn't pay anything more than like 40 quid for the whole set.
Amazing.
But it's just as good because obviously that I feel like that's like a trend.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd be wearing that again next year. And I feel like cozies are like, you always want to reinvest in things like every season or every year. So that's really good. But I'm actually lusting over a brand called Olivia Von Hout.
Oh yeah.
Dream.
Oh my gosh. The dream.
So expensive.
Yeah. But it's just so beautiful. Like the print.
Yeah.
And I just imagine like being like very bougie in my house, lounging around in that. They've got like the zebra print one that's so beautiful, the snake skin one or the snake print one. But yeah, if I had the budget to like go for that, that's what I'd be lounging in every single day.
The way I see myself at home as like a grown up is it's like a turban and some velvet slippers and a full Olivia Von Hout set, but I'm getting kind of dangerously close to actually being of adult age. Like, do you know what I mean? The age I imagine myself in there is not like it's quite close, and I'm not that close to Olivia Von Hout budget.
Like...
Yeah. But also, that she does beautiful cashmere as well, which is like even like double the price of the silk pajamas. It's like
but it does like transport the way that you feel. Like if I'm at home and I put on like some old trackies, an old hoodie, like I just feel rank.
Yeah.
And I think if we are like working from home, you want to be comfortable.
Exactly.
But you also want to feel kind of a bit like dolled up.
Yeah.
So if that, you know, I was very kindly gifted a beautiful silk set from Messino. And every time I put that on, I just feel like a proper woman.
Yeah. That's Asino, like, it's still really expensive, but, you know, they're on the outnet and they always go into the sales. So you can kind of get that look there. And I'm the same. That's exactly what I put on. I lived in my Asino sets throughout the summer. Yeah, because exactly that. They just make me feel a bit more grown up. I was in isolation for 2 weeks, which ended last week because I was tracked and traced. I'm fine. But on the Saturday night, I spent the week also like in trackies, no makeup, but, you know, hair in a bun. So on Saturday night, I did exactly that. I put on some velvet slippers and a full pajama suit and some red lipstick. It felt great. It was so nice.
Yeah. It is nice to have the change.
Becky, what do you wear at home?
I love Urban Outfitters for loungewear.
Yes, the best.
It is honestly the one place, if I'm going to get some stuff, that is where I go. Because they do really nice padded tracksuit bottoms that are so soft inside. The quality is really good. And it's usually about the £40 mark, which I would spend if I'm getting something I really want to wear a lot.
They do the really, really soft
soft joggers. And that's kind of where I've always got my stuff from. And if I was looking for pajamas, even I'd look on there because it just feels very cozy but still a little bit luxe. And again, quite affordable. I haven't really bought anything new loungewear because it is something I do have a lot of. It's something I like getting into at the weekend. But what I would like, actually, talking about the Zara newness, they've got these really lovely almost long john leggings.
Nice.
That's something I would look to getting. I love a long john, to be honest.
What the resurgence of the jersey legging is. That's basically what I lived in this whole weekend, was a cashmere polo and jersey leggings and long socks.
And when you get into a blanket with that attire, you feel the coziest you'll ever feel.
And you feel a bit less because you're in leggings, a bit more pulled together.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Zara is so good for that right now.
So good for that.
Yeah. We don't want to go shopping now. Okay, I think we'll leave it there. Thank you, Adiola. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks to both of you as well. If you have any feedback at all, please do email podcast@sheerlux.com. We love hearing from you. Don't forget also to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.